So the Haftarah for Vayera is taken from the Navi Malachim, and the truth of the matter is that it's comprised of two different stories with a very powerful common denominator. Gladys, let me know if I'm speaking too quietly. Well, I'll try to speak a little louder. Of course, the theme of the two different stories has to do with the loss of children, which is very understandable because what Parshas Vayera, there are many, many things happen in Parshas Vayera, but the central thread has to do with the loss of a long expected and awaited child. Of course, I'm referring to. Where does Parshas Vayera begin? The first story in Vayera?
On the plains.
Right. It involves this remarkable gesture of Hachnasas Orchim. It's hard to imagine. You just read it. Sometimes I get dizzy reading it. You know, Avram is flying to and fro, as Chazal say, but it's not just Chazal. It's really the Pshat and the Psukim. The last we saw of Avraham, he was... again, you know, you can't get this kind of procedure licensed. Forget about in the United States, but even in Europe, there's such a thing. Avram circumcises himself, literally, whether you believe Hashem helped him or not. We say every morning in davening that Hashem did provide assistance. What do we say? V'charos imo habris, that Hashem actually did it along with him, right? And Chazal comment that Hashem actually provided him surgical assistance. But be that as it may, right, the last we saw of him, he was, you know, ailing and infirmed. And now Avram is running himself ragged, performing the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchem, and he's given an amazing promise, something that had been first communicated to him at the end of Lech Lecha, that indeed Sarah, his beloved wife, will have a child. Now, Sarah, of course, knows nothing of this. She wasn't told, as Avram was at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, that there would be a child. And Sarah's incredulous, and we know that itself comprises part of the story. The reason I'm highlighting that for now is you'll see that's a major part of the Haftarah as well, what it means for a woman who's waited a very long time to be told what could be at once the most exciting news that she could ever hear, but also a very scary proposition. Okay, it's also very frightening because we all process the hardest things in our lives. We all do our best to process those things, and somehow we make our peace, or at least a partial peace with them, and then when they're brought to the fore, even in a very good way, that can be a very frightening process. Okay, that's something that's important in the Parsha, and it's very important in the Haftarah. So in any event, Sarah has the reaction that she does, and the child is born. But then, what the Parsha builds up to is, of course, the loss of that child. That's what Akedas Yitzchak is all about. Kachna es bincha es yechidcha asher ahavta es Yitzchak. And Chazal tell us, again, it's not an accident, it's really the Pshat and the Psukim. The next story that we have in the Torah is, of course, the burial of Sarah. Sarah does not survive that. So that provides the backdrop for the Haftarah. It's about mothers and children, the blessed arrival of children, and then the trauma of losing them. But it explores this trauma from two different perspectives. So that's a little bit of the necessary background. Hey, Shira. A little bit of the necessary background for comprehending, at least at first, the topical connection between the Parsha and the Haftarah. So now let's begin just reading through the Psukim carefully, page 296. So this is again towards the back of the Chumash. So we're told the following: V'isha achas. There is again the Haftarah is all about women. V'isha achas minashe v'nei hanevi'im. So there was a woman who had been married, as we'll see, to one of the Nevi'im. Her identity will be revealed in just a moment. Tsa'aka el Elisha. She came crying. Tso'ekes. She's crying, and we'll understand why in a second, to Elisha, who was the Navi at this time, saying, A'avdecha ishimes. My husband is deceased, no longer. Okay, v'ata yadata, and you well know, Elisha, Ki avdecha haya yarei es Hashem. That my husband, who she's referring to very respectfully as Elisha's Eved, was Yarei Es Hashem. Now, there are only four people described in Tanakh as Yarei Es Hashem. It's the ultimate compliment. Even Moshe, who's described as Eved Hashem, is not described as Yarei Hashem. Anybody remember the four people? One of them is, of course, in this week's Parsha, which is another level of connection. Avram is told by Hashem after the Akedah, Atayadata. I know that you are the Yarei Hashem. So Avram is the original Yarei Hashem. Okay. So actually, believe it or not, Eliyahu is not on the list. But the next one is Yosef. Yosef says to the brothers before they know that it's Yosef, Es ha Elokim ani Yarei. I'm a God-fearing person. This is Yosef, you know, giving a bit of a hint who he is. The Torah describes Yosef as ha'elokim ani yarei. Iov is described in Ksuvim as a very God-fearing man, actually the most God-fearing man of his generation. It's very significant. And then the fourth, the most obscure, which is really the person in our story, as understood by all of the commentaries, is Shira. Not Chana. This would be, if anybody could possibly, I don't know how anybody would get this, is really... Esther, you know, I would say ye of little faith, but it's me of little faith. Okay, so that's exactly...
I read ahead a little bit.
Oh, okay, all right, so... okay, so Esther being very very honest.
You know that there was an unfinished novel by Milton Steinberg.
I
read that.
I regret that he didn't finish it because...
It was left unfinished, and Ari Goldman tried to finish it, but he wasn't able to. But I did read that novel, and
so
it's a very interesting piece.
He's an amazing guy. Ovadia is really an amazing guy, really, really exceptional. Not the Navi Ovadia who appears in Treyasar, but the Navi Ovadia. So this is an unbelievable story. That he's rightly described as not just Yirei Hashem, but anybody remember how the Navi describes him? Right? Yirei Hashem Me'od. That he's, in some sense, he superseded the other three because of his job. What was his day job? This guy is a remarkable guy. I wouldn't call him a righteous Gentile. I would call him a righteous Jew. You'll understand the reference in just a second. He worked for one of the most evil men who ever lived. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Shi Mishnah, tells us there are very few people that don't have a portion in Olam Haba. Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelek Olam Haba. But there's like a very short list of people who were so wicked that they don't have a portion in the Olam Haba. And one of them is Achav. So Sally, go ahead. I saw you nodding sagaciously, so
no,
you can take it from here.
Wasn't he like in charge of the house, and that he's the one who saved all 200
Nevi'im? That's exactly right. So Ahab was married to
Izebel,
right? And Izebel was not just a rotten character, but a mass murderer. So the Navi, this is in Sefer Melachim, you know, not making it up. She went on a mass killing campaign of religious people, and particularly spiritual people. She would kill them, hundreds of them. And this man, Ovadia, who was Ahab's chief of staff, this is why I said he wasn't a righteous Gentile, he was a righteous Jew, he literally saved 100 people's lives. You know, he should be recognized by not just a tree, but an orchard. Not only did he save 100 people, remarkably, he sustained them. And not only did he sustain them, but the whole story is predicated upon this terrible famine. This three-year famine that is a result of a drought, because God is cursing Ahab for being so wicked, is unbelievable. So it's not an accident. He described this, Yarei Hashem. Oh, the only problem is that to sustain them, he had to take out, and you know, talk about a debt crisis. He had a personal debt crisis. He had to borrow a huge amount of money, as you would expect. He's not a, you know, the position of being chief of staff might pay well, but not that well. He's, you know, supporting 100 people in very scarce times. So now you understand what this pasuk is all about. So she says, "Avdecha ishimes ve'ata yadata ki avdecha haya yareis Hashem." That's the hint. We're talking about Ovadia. Ve'hanoshe ba vakachas eshnei iladai lo la'avadim. And the creditor is coming to seize my children. This is about a mother who's about to lose children. You know, this is the connection to the parsha. It's actually the looser of the two connections, as we'll see. Coming to seize my children, take my children away. It's all about mothers and reacting to children being taken away. So now we understand quite well why she's tsa'aka el Elisha. I mean, what's a mother going to scream about if not the such an impending disaster, catastrophe, that can't even be described in words, the loss of her family. You know, she's already lost her husband. It's a terrible thing. So, vayomer eleha Elisha, ma'a eselach, here... he doesn't mean it as a question. He says, this is what I will do for you. Hagidi li ma yeshlach babayis. What do you have at home? Right? And we know she doesn't have all that much at home. Otherwise, she'd be paying the debt. She wouldn't be, you know, coming to Elisha. Vatomer ein l'shivchascha chol babayis ki imasuch shaman. I really have only a little jug of oil. So Elisha advises her the following. Vayomer l'chi shalilach kelim min hachutz. Go and borrow small vessels, kelim, from the neighborhood. Me'ez kol shecheinayich, all of your neighbors who are willing to contribute. Okay, kelim rekim, they should be empty. Al tamiti, don't be bashful. Try and accumulate as many as possible. To what end? Uvas, and then you should come. V'sagar tadalet ba'adeich uva'ad banayich. It seems like an insignificant detail. In my opinion, it's the most important thing in the Haftarah. When you come back to the house, what should you do? Remarkable thing. What are you supposed to do?
Close the door.
Close the door. The Haftarah is all about privacy. It's very... It's sneus. Okay? Privacy. Real sneas. The only people who should be there are you and your two sons. Okay, very, very particular directions. Okay, I'm going to outline exactly what's happening here so we can appreciate the nuance. So what's going to happen? She's going to accumulate all of these empty vessels, bring them into her house, close the door. It's just her and her two children, and she has this little jug of oil, and she's going to fill in succession each one of the empty vessels. V'hamale tasi'i. And the protocol, and again, this is very particular. She's not allowed to move the jug around. She can't, like, let's say, set up all the empty vessels and go and walk around with the jug and pour from one into the empty vessel and then walk 2 feet away. She's got to keep her pouring in one place and move the vessels along as if it were an assembly line. You keep that detail in mind. Elisha is very particular. Hamalei tasi'i. The filled, once you fill a vessel, have, you know, basically one of your sons move it along. Okay. We'll only appreciate that detail later, but it's very important. Vatelech me'ito. Okay, so she goes, Vatiskor Hadalas. Again, the Navi is emphasizing that she did close the door, that apparently is a more important detail than we would think. Ba'ada uva'ad baneha, and she's in there with her two sons. Heim magishim eleha vithi motzakes. So she is pouring, right? And they are carrying the vessels along. And that's exactly the procedure. Vayhi kimlos hakelim, right? And it was when all of the vessels in the room were filled. Vatomer el bina hagisha elai od keli, bring me the next vessel. Right? She doesn't know that they've, you know, filled all of them. She's just pouring. She's focusing on that. The sons are seeing to, you know, the vessels themselves. Vayomer elah. So one of her sons says to her, "Ain od keli." There is no more kli. Vayamod hashamin. And at that moment, there's no more oil. So again, the miracle is that this little jug of oil, should sound very familiar to us, doesn't exhaust itself. And but again, it's not that she's walking around with that, it's that in this very tsnuah way, right, she's just keeping the jug, you know, in one place. You wouldn't know that it was a miracle if you looked at it at any point in time, because you just think that, oh, she's pouring out whatever the contents are. It's just that it keeps on going, and they're moving the vessels along. Again, that heightens the tznias. Let's put those two details together. Hamalei tasi'i, the fact that she's not walking around saying, you know, look at this, it's unbelievable, it's the magic genie in the bottle. No, she's just keeping it steady. But and so again, if you're looking from the outside, you know there's a miracle, but only if you look around the room and say, oh my God, how did you get so much oil out of that little jug? And then the fact that the door is closed. There's incredible tznius which is being projected here into this miracle. One more pasuk. Vatavo, Vatageid l'ish ha'elohim. She tells Elisha, Vayomer l'chi, and he says to her, go, michrias ha'shemen, sell this huge volume of oil that you have now. Okay, you know, OPEC. Okay, she's not the first person to, you know, survive off oil exports. Maybe she's the first, but you know, people have followed in good stead. Vishalmias nishyech, pay off the creditor. Ve'atu vanayich tichyi banosar, and the family will live on that which remains. So now let's take one step back to appreciate a little bit what's happening here. Number one, what does this miracle remind us of?
Of course, Hanukkah.
Okay, so it happens many, many, many years later. There would be the Hanukkah miracle, which is really, you know, patterned after this. But what was the first miracle of this order? This isn't Elisha's original move. Where did Elisha pick this up? It's the place that Elisha picked up everything that he knew. From Eliyahu. So what happened with Eliyahu? This is really the point of the story.
He went to another woman's house and he told her to make him bread first and then that she would have enough for herself.
So this is a result of the famine that I was describing in the days of Ovadia. Right? There's no food whatsoever. So Eliyahu is at whose home? What do we call her?
I don't remember.
So Eliyahu has to flee the country because Ahab is trying to kill him and there's also no food. So Eliyahu goes to Lebanon and he goes to Sidon. And it's always just striking to me. So there's a town in Sidon, this is Melachim Aleph Perek Yedayin, is called Sarfat, France. It's just ironic because, you know, much later France would colonize Lebanon, but this is, you know, many thousands of years before. It's just really interesting. So we call her the Tsarfatit, Isha HaTsarfatit, the French woman in Lebanon. And he says to her, can I have some food? And she says, well, I'd love to give you food. There is no food. And he says, don't worry. Take whatever little bit you have and that will last you until the famine breaks. And the same thing with your shemen. So this is Elisha channeling Eliyahu. The reason that I'm stressing that is because the rest of the story is about Elisha, what I would call channeling his inner Eliyahu in an even more dramatic way. Okay, so that's part one of the Haftorah. Let's put that on the ledger, keep it on the back burner, because now we're going to move on to the bulk of the Haftorah, but you'll see why this is a very necessary precursor. In addition to it being about, of course, a woman faced with the possibility of losing her children, right? Losing her children to Avdus, but losing her children nonetheless, and Elisha bringing to bear miracles on her behalf. Okay, so on that very day, Vayihi Hayom, okay, Vayavor Elisha El Shunem. So Elisha goes to a place, a Shunem. Visham Isha Gedola, Vatachazek Bo Le'echol Lachem. So there is a very, Isha Gedola, not a reference to her actual size. It means that she was a person of stature. Okay, and she insists that Elisha come, right, he's a guest there, and eat in her home. Okay. Vayhimi day of row, and every time he would pass through, Yasur Shama Le'echolachem. She insisted that he be hosted in her home. Again, the Mishnah Perkei Avos says, Yihi Beischa Beis Va'ad L'Chachamim. It's always a good idea. And she was very machmir on being, what's the connection again to the parsha we see? Her Hachnasas Orchem. Okay, very significant. So, by the way, who's the other woman we know in Tanakh from Shunamit?
Avishag.
I think, very good. So Nechi and Adira got that at the same time. Both of their buzzers, we can go back to the video replay. The both of their buzzers went off simultaneously. Both correct, right? Avishag Ashunamit. The Medrash says that this is Avishag's sister. Okay? Be that as it may, and make of it what you will, but that's an important connection, which we won't delve into for now. Okay. Vatomer Elisha, so she says to her husband, her husband does not make out well in this story. Vatomer Elisha, hine na yadati ki ish Elohim kadoshu, he is a man of God, sacred, holy, over aleinu tamid, he's always passing through. Na asena alias kirketana, let us, add on to the house, let's do construction in annex. Vinasim lo sham, and let's make for him there mita, a bed, shulchan,
a table,
kiseh, a chair, menorah, a lamp, Okay? V'haya b'va'o eilenu yasur shama. Right? And that he'll be able to stay, not just for a meal, but he'll be able to stay literally in our home. Okay? So again, you know, pretty Spartan accommodations, but not bad. A bed, chair and a table and a lamp could be like, I once saw the dorms in the University of Chicago. It could be like that. A reasonably furnished prison, but a place for Elisha to get the work done that he needs to get done. Okay. Apparently needed a table and a lamp for learning. I think that's the pshat. Okay, vayhi hayom. So it was on the particular day, vayavo shama, vayaser el ha'aliyah vayishkav shama. So now that the construction is done, so Elisha goes to live there. Vayomer el Gehazi na'aro. So Elisha says to his assistant, Gehazi, who, by the way, is on that very short list of seven people who doesn't get a chelak in Olam Haba, for reasons that are implicit in this Haftorah. So vayomer Gehazi na'aro, kirala shunamis hazos. Bring up our hostess, the Shunammite woman. Vayikrala, so Gehazi gets her. Vatamod lefanav, and so she stands there. Vayomer lo, so Elisha says to Gehazi, Emorna eleha, please communicate to her. Hine charadit eleinu es kol hacharada hazos. So you've gone to remarkable lengths on our account, right? You've literally done construction to your home. Mela asos lach, what can we do for you? Hayesh ledaber lach el hamelech. Can I recommend you to the king? Do you want me to speak to powerful people on your behalf? O el sar hatzava, or perhaps to the army chief of staff. So, very important line. Vatomer, besoch ami anochi yoshaves. And she says, nothing of the sort. A simple woman. Besoch ami anochi yoshaves. And she walks away. Again, this is the second major element of tznius that we find in the Haftarah. Again, the first one is the closing of the door, and the miracle is private. It has to be done. Elisha does the miracle on the behalf, but again, now the Shunamit is projecting a very similar kind of tznius. It's not the last or the most striking example, but just besochami and ochi yoshaves, and she walks away. Vayomer. So Elisha turns to Gehazi and he says, Umela sosla. What can we do on her behalf? Vayomer Gehazi. So Gehazi says, Aval bein ein la. She has no child. V'isha zakein. What does this remind us of? Avram and Sarah. This is just the replay of Avram and Sarah, and we're going to see again how the connections develop further and further. So Vayomer Kirala. So Elisha says, bring her back. She walked away. In other words, she didn't need to. She just said, Besochami anochi yoshaves. Remarkable modesty. Very. She's not looking for any reward. You know, she's doing hachnasas orchem lishma, much like Avram in his own right, to begin with, right? He didn't know that the angels were going to give him a huge piece of news, but doing the right thing because it's the right thing. Oses ha'emes mitneishu emes in the Rambam's lexicon describing Avram's ability. Vayomer kirala. So Elisha says, call her back. Vayikrala vatamod bapasach. So she comes and she stands there. Vayomer. So Elisha says the following. La mu'ed hazeh ka'es chaya. Exactly 1 year from now, at chovek espain. You'll have a child. Where did Elisha pick up that line? Yeah, it's a quote from Rishon of this week's parsha. You can look at it or just quote it. So the Malach says to Avram, Vayomer, Shov Ashuv Elecha Ka'es Chaya V'hinei Vein L'Sara Ishtecha. So Elisha is saying exactly the same. You have mimicked Avraham and Sarah in your Hachnas Asarichim. Coming to you is exactly the news that they received. Okay, it's a remarkable thing. So her response is striking. So Vatomer Al Adoni Ish Ho Elohim, no, my master, man of God, Al Techazev Bishiv Chasecha. So Chazav literally means like Sheker V'Chazav, like right. Don't trick me. Don't deceive me. Don't fool me. So what is her response? What is her response, at least superficially, remind us of?
They're gonna laugh.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That there's something. Right? It's not that she's not interested in this. It's that she wants it too deeply. It's so deeply, right? That It's painful to even be told this. I said, what if it... Most of the Mefarshim, interestingly, interpret that what she was saying was not, God forbid, that, you know, you're lying to me, but how do I... It's very fascinating. They sort of project the rest of the story. Sally, what do they? How do they interpret? The Radak says this. Targum Yonasan says this. Rashi projects this. Most of the Mefarshim interpret that her concern was not that the child wouldn't come, but that the child
wouldn't live.
Right. Which is a remarkable thing, but that there's this just foreboding, very ominous feeling that she's able to articulate. So again, whether it's the pshat of she can't really process the news, that would be like Sarah, or that she already, there's something ominous to this about her, it's just a very haunting line, Al techazev b'shiv chasecha. Batari shabatelet bein, lamoed hazek ha'is chaya asher diberi le'alisha. It happened exactly as Elisha said. Vaygdal hayalet, okay, and the child grows up, vayihi hayom, and again, third time we have that, vayihi hayom, it's a critical term in this story. So that very day, vayetze el aviv el hakotzrim. So he finally goes out to his father. Again, it's just interesting, the father has no, really hasn't accomplished anything, right? It's always the woman who's driving both the hachnasas orachim and getting the nevuah in her own right. And the only thing that the father is going to say is not a particularly intelligent comment, as we're about to see. But anyway, the child is now able to go out into the field with his father. Vayomer l'aviv, so he immediately takes ill, and he says to his father, Roshi, Roshi, my head kills. Roshi, Roshi. So, Vayomer el hanar, so the father says to his attendant, right, Sa'ehu el imo, okay, take him back to his mother. You know, he obviously wasn't ready for this. Not a very deep level of, not the male gender's finest moment, and not the most paternal moment of all time, right? Sa'ehu el imo.
I don't see anything wrong with that. Well, it's out in the field, it's very hot. The kid has heat prostration, and
right.
He says, "Take him back." And
take him back. The only thing is that there's a kind of a minimization. Maybe it's that I read this line in light of the next line. Esther may well be right about that, but yeah. I always thought that he could do more. And what I have in mind is the following. Of course, the implicit contrast here is again the child was delivered, so this is the proto Yitzchak, let's call it Yitzchak 2.0, because this is just a play on the Yitzchak story. And so when Yitzchak is at risk, of course it's through the Akedah. But what happens? His father walks with him, and he tells the Na'ar, or the Na'arim, to stay back. So it just always strikes me that here the father stays back and he tells the Na'ar, okay, you take the kid. It says, to me, that's my bias. I'm reading it in light of the Yitzchak story, but, you know, Esther may have a better read than I do. So, you know, take your pick.
No, I think he's right. If it was my child, I would take the child back.
Right.
I would leave it to some servant.
You've set a high bar.
Right.
Not one that the husband of the Shunamis can really live up to.
As opposed to the Yitzchak story, Sarah is completely, doesn't even appear.
Ah, so this is...
Here, it's all centered on Hashem.
It's right. The parallel opposite. That's to me, right. The real point of the Haftorah is the Akedah type narrative from the woman's perspective, right. About what
so she is so
what it feels like for women to lose their child. Yeah. To me, is that's the whole. She's the one doing the hachnasas orachim.
Never hear about Sarah after that.
That's the end of her. She dies. Dead.
She
dies.
She is.
So it's really a story about mothers and dealing with losing children. It's just that she the Shunamid is the role of Avram from the hachnasas orachim all the way through. Okay. So anyway, vayomer l'aviv roshi roshi vayomer l'anar se'el imo. So catastrophe vayisaeu vayivyeu imo. Vayeshev al birkad, sarayim vayamos. The child dies. It's just vayamos. It's the end. So, vatal, so she brings him up. Vatishkeveu al mitas isha Elohim. And she brings the her dead child. It's really heart-wrenching. And she puts him where? In the newly constructed aliyah, in the attic, on the bed that she had specifically constructed for Elisha, which is how she got a child in the first place. I mean, there's just real poignancy to this scene. She was afraid of this happening, and it's the mitah that brought this about, right? And she's putting him there, right? And there's something, as we'll see from the next few psukim. I mean, but there's an indictment there. What have you done to me? Mm-hmm. Right.
Was she afraid the child would die because she was old, or was she afraid because child mortality was such a major problem?
It's a very good question.
Until the recent ages, I mean, really.
It's a very good question as to why, you know, what was she? If most of the Mefarshim are right, that Al Techazev B'Shiv Chasecha is not, I don't believe you, but I'm afraid the child won't live. You know, was it just some premonition? It's a very good question, not one that I know the answer to, but be that as it may, Vatiskor Ba'ado Vatetse. What does she do?
She closes the door.
Okay, the door closing is very, very important. Okay. Vatikra Elisha, so she says to her husband, Vatomer, Shilcha Nali Echad Min HaNe'arim, so send with me one of the Ne'arim, that's his specialty. V'achas Ha'atonos, and a donkey, right? Again, we're replaying the seventh Ali of the Parsha with the Ne'arim and donkeys. Just 1 second, Shira. V'arutza Ad Ish HaElohim V'ashuva. Right, and I will go till the Isha Elohim, and I will return. What was Avram's line to the Ne'arim?
Stay behind.
Right, stay behind. Right, Vani Vanar Nocha Adko Vinishta Chaveh Ve Nashuva Aleichem. Right. So again, the lines here, we know where they come from. Vayomer. So his just brilliant guy that he is. All you can think to say is Madua ad holechas elav hayom. Why are you going to see your rabbi now? Lo chodesh. It's not Rosh Chodesh. Velo Shabbos. It's not Shabbos either. Vatomer, and he gets the response that he deserves. Shalom. Okay. Right. No asking about how's the child. Is he okay? You know, just the total lack of awareness and sensitivity. It's pretty sad.
But she's really sort of lying because she doesn't say anything either. She just says, I'm going.
Right.
And she doesn't say why she's going. She doesn't really give him the truth either.
Right, but he's totally disconnected from the child from the beginning. She's the one who brought in the Ish Halokim. She's the one who, through her Hachnasas Orchim, got the Nevuah of the child. She's the one who had the child. The only contact with the father is he goes to the field. He takes ill. The father says, okay, send him back. And it's just so striking to me, the father doesn't even ask, and it's just totally disconnected. You know, the opposite of a Vayelchu Shnehem Yachdav father, you know, the whole dialogue of Avram and Yitzchak, you know, Vayomer Avi, Vayomer Hineni Vni, right? It's all about father and son, Avi, Bini, Vayelchu Shnehem Yachdav, right? So none of that, but you know, thank God he has a mother. Don't you dare stop until I say we're on a mission here. Time is of the essence. So where is Elisha hanging out? What's the significance of Har Carmel? It's a scene of Eliyahu's greatest triumph. Okay, that's also a foreshadowing because Eliyahu, you know, what did he do for the Tzarfatit? Not just the miracle of the oil and the miracle of the bread, but when her child died, he resuscitated her child. Where? In which room? In the Aliyah, on the bed, with the door closed. Okay, so it's all, you know, the miracle of the oil, the miracle of the revived child. Okay. So Elisha is hanging out in the, you know, in the stomping grounds of his teacher, of his mentor. Vayi cheros isha lohim osami neged. So when Elisha sees her, vayomer al gechazin aro hine hashunamis habaz. He says, here's the shunamis. Ata rutz na likrasa. You better go greet her very quickly. Ve'amorla, and he immediately thinks to ask, Hashalom lach, are you well? Hashalom l'isheich, is your husband well? Hashalom l'yalad. Right, is the child okay? So whereas the father couldn't ask, even though he should have known to ask, right? Elisha has the refinement, he has the sensitivity, he has the awareness to ask. Vatomer shalom. So, but this woman wants no part of Gehazi. She's not here to talk to Gehazi, she's here to talk to Elisha, which is important. Vatavo Elisha lohim el hahar. Again, we're being reminded that we're in Har HaKarmel. Vatachazek biraglav. She literally grabs a hold of him. Vaigash Gehazi lahadfa. So Gehazi goes to knock her away. right? Gehazi doesn't have the sensitivity to understand what's happening here. Gehazi is right along with the husband in terms of people who don't get it. Vaygash Gehazi la'adfa, vayomer ish Elohim har pela, leave her alone, ki nafsha marala. Right, because her soul is embittered. Vahashem helim mimeni v'lo higidli. God has not informed me. I don't know what's happening, but I know that there's something serious going on. And she just comes out with it. It's an awesome line. Vatomer, and she says, Hasha'alti vein me'is adoni. Did I ask for this? Did I ask you to do this? Halo amarti, didn't I tell you, lo sashlaosi, don't fool me. Don't take me for a fool. You know, I wasn't looking for this. So, and again, he gets it. There's no follow. He understands immediately. Vayomer legechazi. So he says to Gehazi, quick, chazor masnacha, chagor masnacha, right? Like, Korban Pesach, masnechem chagorim. Haste. Vikach mishanti viadcha, take my staff, valech, and go. Kin timsaish lo sevarachenu. Don't say a word to anybody. Let's keep this private. That's critical. Kisim saish lo sevarachenu, vichidivar chaish lo saanenu. Don't even answer. Vesamta mishanti al pnei hanar, and you'll go and help the child by putting my staff on his face. Vatomer aim hanar, so the mother says to Elisha, an amazing line, Chai Hashem v'cheinav shecha im ezveka. Right, she takes a shavua that I will not leave your side. Vayakom vayilach achareha, so Elisha follows her home. So where is this line, the one other place that this line verbatim appears? Chai Hashem v'chei nafshecha ime ezveka. Very powerful. Is, what's that?
Rachav.
Not Rachav. Actually,
root.
Very similar, but not exact. Not verbatim. What's the verbatim? Exact quote. It's being said to Elisha by the Shunammite. Okay, Elisha was the author of this phrase. When Eliyahu is being taken from Elisha, the famous story, beating of Malachim, that Eliyahu wasn't part of the regular rules governing humanity, in as much as he was able to be Mechaye Mason. He was the first one to literally resuscitate the dead, but he also didn't die. He just ascended to the heavens. So in that scene, Eliyahu basically communicates to Elisha that this is, you know, he's leaving this planet, this realm, and Elisha says to him, "Chai Hashem v'chai nafshecha imezveka, I'll never leave you." Right? You represent to me something so important, and then, of course, you know, when Eliyahu is taken up to the heavens, that's where he cries out, "Avi Avi Rachav Yisrael Ufarashav." But the point is that everything that Eliyahu represented to Elisha at that moment, life itself, his whole orientation is. So the Shunammite, you know, is playing that back to Elisha, saying, whatever Eliyahu represented for you at that moment and continues to represent to you, after all, we're at Har HaKarmel, you know, he casts a giant shadow for you. Everything you do, and that's the point of this Haftorah, is walking in his footsteps, right? From the miracle of the oil to the what's about to happen, the resuscitation in the Aliyah on the Mitah, and he'll follow the same protocol. Everything that Eliyahu represented to you is that much investment I have in you. You're that person for me. Like it or not. And you have to own that. And so he goes home with her. And you can't send Gehazi to do the job for you. Right? This has to be done yourself. Okay. So, Gehazi avar lifnehem, v'yasham esim yishenes al pnei ha'na'ar, v'ein kol v'ein kashav. Gehazi fails. Now, interestingly, for our thesis, Gehazi fails, according to Chazal, because he was talking to people on the way. He couldn't keep it private. Mm-hmm. He couldn't keep it sanua. He was either cynical or he didn't know how to do this. Elisha described it, told him expressly, do not talk to people. This is, you have to be focused. Ein kovin kashav, he fails. Vayashav likraso vayagid lo lemor lo hekit sanar. I failed. I couldn't do what you told me to do. Vayavo Elisha habaisa. So Elisha comes himself with, of course, the mother. Vihine hana armes mushkav al mitaso. So the child is dead on his bed. Vayavo, and so Elisha comes in. Vayisgor hadalas ba'ad shnehem. So what does he do? He closes the door. The door has to be closed in this whole Haftorah for anything to happen. Vayispalel el Hashem. He davened. So vayal vayishkab al hayelad, vayasim piv al piv, vayinav al inav chapav al chapav, vayihar alav, vayachum besar hayelad. So some very advanced version of mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, but not just mouth-to-mouth, but hand-to-hand, you know, body-to-body.
Book Medicine in the Bible,
and
the quotes, this is the first.
Yeah, so I mean, Elisha got this move from Eliyahu. Eliyahu was really the first one to do this, but this is more, right? It wasn't like within minutes, right? The child has been dead for hours, if not longer, right? You know, the mother had to travel all the way from Shunaim to Har HaKarmel. This is much more. This is within the amount of time that could be B'derech HaTeva. So the child has been brought back to life. He says, take your child is back. And she carries her child out, vateitze. And of course, the father, you know, does not reappear. Okay. So, the questions that I really want to try to take a step back and understand, obviously, we have many, 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 many similarities to the story of an elderly couple who do hachnasas orchim and are rewarded with a child who's almost taken away, or is taken away, but sort of brought back from the dead, Yitzchak and Yaakov, the whole parallel there, but with the reversal, not from the father's point of view. In fact, the father is almost a caricature of incompetence and dissociation. It's all about the mother. But to me, again, the tantalizing detail is just that. It's just a detail, and it's this, it's neos. Let me open up. How does it factor in? What is this segiras delas, the fact that that's critical in both Nisim, the fact that everything has to be done very modestly. You can't move the jug. The jug has to stay stationary. You just sort of move the vessels along. Gehazi fails at the miracle because, again, according to Chazal, he's speaking to people, you know, and publicizing. Why the incredible emphasis here on modesty, on inwardness, on the closed doors, on privacy? What is that highlighting? There's clearly a theme here. You just have to pin down what that is. Yeah, Ellie, go ahead. Was that a hand? Okay, okay. Shira, Sally, Adira. Go in that order.
It feels a little bit like I'm thinking about God's role in all of this, right? So it's like if it's really God doing everything, then. You can't really as an individual reach out to Hashem in a loud way. I feel like the tzniut is like the way you daven and the way you think and the way you sort of like commune with Hashem by yourself. Like this seems to be it seems to me like Elisha is sort of giving the people a way to do that. They're doing it like internally.
Okay, very good. I think that there's a real kernel there. Okay, yeah, Sally, go ahead.
No, I was going to say also, because that sort of plays on the whole theme of Vayera, showing and seeing, and part of that is there's a lot of like knowing, you know, the contrast between like seeing and knowing. Different people are described in that way, that they saw or they knew, and that it's not... you know, what the way that, you know, Abraham just, you know, figured out what he was supposed to figure out after the Akedah is that, you know, Hashem showed him something, but it wasn't, it was very private. It wasn't like Sarah didn't know, Sarah couldn't see it, and nobody else could see it, so it wasn't really visible, but it was like a way of quietly showing something and then you inwardly know it or something. I don't know.
Okay, I think that's also
the
very...
The opposite of Vayera, but that's what Vayera is.
Yeah, okay, I think that's a very... I don't disagree with that, with anything, and in fact, I agree. Yeah, Ellie. And then Ayelet, and then Adira.
This must be a stretch, but if you think of the times in which they lived here, it was a time of an enormous amount of Avodah Zarah. There was this whole story about on Carmel with Elio. And
Dafka at Har Carmel, agreed.
Right, yes. And if you think about not having this, you know, this is a holy man doing all these things, again, it might be a stretch of, you know, having people say, oh, we have to worship, you know, this was a tendency of people to worship this man, he makes miracles, and that you really want it to be about Hashem and to keep it under wraps. I don't know if you...
No. I think that's a major theme, and I think there's actually, I think what you're saying is particularly apt for Eliyahu, because what's the ultimate Musar d'Eliyahu? Remember when what's the end of Eliyahu's career? Again, this is before his elevator ride to heaven. But what does God tell him, Adira? What does God tell him about Eli's point? Basically, makes Eli's point in a very poetic way that. He goes to the desert. He's furious. Eliyahu is fuming. He's saying the Jewish people are basically a lost cause. The opposite of Moshe, when Jewish people really were a lost cause. And Moshe said, no, they're not a lost cause. Don't worry. God said, they are a lost cause, but I'll listen. Mm-hmm. And God says to Eliyahu, but he brings a massive storm. And what does he tell him? He says, where am I? I'm not in the storm. I'm not in the sounds, but I am in the... Exactly, the Kol Dmama Daka, right, where we echo that on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, right? That's a very important message to Eliyahu, is that for the sound and light show, right, the most important thing is that, to quote from a later Navi, right, from Zechariah, again, when it comes back, Lo v'chayel v'lo v'choach ki'im beruchi, which is really a replay of that. So I totally agree with Eli, and I think that's a major Eliyahu theme, as it were. Okay. Ayelet and then Adira.
Well, I think that the cases here are like the most personal, dramatic cases that you could have. You know, it's not something for the community, it's not something for a larger group, it's really like the most basic elemental level that's going on. And when they're encountering these kinds of problems, the point isn't to show everyone else like how to fix it. This is something really just for you, so it's done. That sort of private way.
I agree that these are very inner realms. There's really no doubt about that. Adira.
No, I was thinking also about like the interpersonal relationships here and protecting them in a certain way. And how much is it about the miracle and how much is it sort of very, very similar lines about those relationships and like the privacy and like the value of someone within those relationships.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I have a question rather than a solution. It seems to me that...
Well, that can help us. Sometimes you add another question, and that is the solution.
It seems to me that the Eliyahu and Elisha miracles are different from Akedat Yitzchak. Because Akedat Yitzchak, it becomes clear that this is God's hand in saving the child. God tells Abraham about, you know, what to do with the sed that gets caught in the bush and all that kind of thing.
But well, God doesn't actually tell him, but God arranged for the isle to be there, but okay, yeah, he's suggestive.
It should be sacrificed instead of...
Well, that was Avram's idea, but okay. I mean, it says Vayar bin Ayil Achars Nechaz Basvach Bekarna Vayilach Avraham Vayikach Es Ayil. It was Avram's initiative, but okay. It's probably not critical.
You have two prominent holy men.
Yeah.
And my question is, how does the Shunamit, or the people who benefit from the miracle, distinguish between God and his Shaliach, in other words, the Nevi'im, that pull it through? It seems that this is a very primitive time, and God is nowhere immediately apparent. Why is that?
Okay, so I think that will get us a little bit further afield. So maybe we'll be able to circle back to that. No, that's okay. I just wanted to key in on this one last, just to try to understand, because I think that Tznias theme is an undeniable one. I just think that we need to pin it down. So let me just ask a leading question. And I agree with everything that was said. I think that it's related to the Parsha. But we'll let's go back to the critical scene that all of this is founded on, the Lamoed Hazas Kais Chaya, which goes back to when Ben in love, Adoniza Cain, right? Here we're playing it from the woman's point of view. But what are we told about Sarah at the very beginning? What's the first words that the Malachim say to Avram? Say Vayomer, Aye Sara Ishtecha. What's the response? Vayomer Hineva Ohel. She's inside. She's not out here. She's inside. Of course, Chazal, picking up on the nuance, comment on her tznius, right? But that's not the end of it. Then what happens, right? And they say, right? Lamboed hazaka is chaya, right? Vinevein l'sarai yistacha. What's the end of that pasuk, Dana? Since you quoted the previous one. Not yet. Not that quite there. But v'sara shomas pesach ha'ohel v'hu acharav. That she's behind the door. That's literally what it says. Sara shomas pesach ha'ohel v'hu acharav. So she's behind the door. The whole point of to me of Vayera, that's what we're alluding to, is this remarkable story. It's easy to get focused on Avram. But the really poignant story, anyway, from my point of view, not to take away from Avram and Yitzchak, which is compelling in its own right, but is the story of Sarah, right? A story of a mother and a child that she waited for in a lot of ways much longer than her husband did, 13 years longer. What did Sarah say in Lech Lecha? Hinei na, it's an amazing thing. Hinei na, atzarani Hashem yiledes, bo na el shefchasi ulai ibanem imena. Perhaps I will be able to build from here. And as Chazal note, that the hope is that through this gesture, a very magnanimous gesture on her part, a complicated gesture on her part, not one that she herself is totally reconciled with, as evidenced by her subsequent behavior, but this sort of great heroic moment, right? That God will help her. Ulai ibanem imena, right? Bizchus that, and it just doesn't happen. And there's incredible frustration, and yet, again, this to me is what's so compelling about her, and it's sort of the untold story, because she dies when her child is going to be lost, is she maintains, it's not like an accident that she happens to be in the tent, but Hineva Ohel, she's every bit who she always was. The Ohel Sarah, by the way, comes back again. Where? Right, exactly. Vayevi'eha Yitzchak Ohela Sara Imo. And Chazal, this is beautiful literature about all the things that were going on there, but basically that this was her locus of spirituality. And it's something incredibly powerful about her role in the Ohel, what she was able to project from there. Chazal, of course, say that Sarah, right, was teaching the women. When Avram was teaching the men, Sarah was teaching the women. It was like, a JLIC couple, they call it today. But the point really is that she was projecting this is Sarah Imenu, and she's no less important than Avram. And the Vayera story will sort of give you the Avram Yitzchak angle, but Sarah will always be a little bit in the background. But to me, anyway, this is kind of the second, what they used to call the B track when they had the tapes, what the B side. Okay, the one that you don't play, but it has the really interesting stuff on it. Right, that the Navi is taking us back inside the Ohel, where we lock, which is a trigger, and telling the story from the mother's point of view, with a different ending. But to me, it's that Tznius, it's that Hineva Ohel, it's with the closed door, Pesach HaOhel V'hu Acharav, to tell a little bit of the story of what something was like from Sarah's perspective. The Isha that we meet at the beginning, who's Tza'aka, that gives us the sound of what it must have been like for Sarah. Again, Chazal fill in the picture for us that she just literally died from it, but the pain that she would have felt. And that also, at the end of the Haftorah, where she says, Hasha'alti vein me'es adoni. How do you think Sarah felt? She laughed when she was told. So again, to me, this is about giving voice to the voice that we don't necessarily hear in the Parsha, but by taking us back indoors to the place where Sarah really excelled, that came to define her, Hineva Ohel, Pesach Ohel, V'hu Acharav, with the door closed, to me, anyway, this provides a little bit of a different perspective on a familiar story, a perspective that is told from the mother's angle. Okay, so let's just hold it up.